keep saying hella, fat ass. Because I'm hella cool, that's why.
That's not cool.
You guys are just hella jealous.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 108, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and Ed Casey. Sarcastic Voyage encourages its listeners to submit the most ridiculously incoherent internet comments they can find for an occasional feature we like to call Never Scroll Down. What the F are you talking about, dumb fuck? Reality free? I bet you read philosophy on Friday nights and don't even jack off because it's unclean, faggot. Panel discussion.
Three.
Yes. Hi. Hello. Are we Egoning again?
Yes.
See, people don't hear that first part, and they don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, but then you could easily cut that part out and just ignore it, but you can't.
No, I can't. I can't let anything go. That is our curse. That is our blessing.
Delightful.
Yes. Hey, look, Ed's here.
Hey, Ed's here. That guy's great.
Hey, Ed.
Talk about him exclusively.
Well, that was the plan.
This time we're not like I always feel like we misuse you. We bring you on and talk about Star Trek, and you're game. You know, you're totally you totally jump in and do your best. But it's not like you're not really Star Trek guy necessarily. You're not really, you know. Every time we bring you on, it's like we're not really using you the right way.
You know, I feel like I going into the Star Trek show, I thought that I had knowledge, and then we did the show, and I realized I didn't know a thing. So,
yeah, and yet you hung there, and it was fine. It's just you know, but. You're not. That's not really your thing. I mean, you know, you're Ed. You talk about Ed stuff.
Exactly. I don't know that I have a thing. I'm indefinable. Undefinable. I'm good at words.
Ineffable.
I'm certainly not effable. I've been told that.
Well, you're a quitter. We could talk about that.
Really? Right to that?
Yep. Right to that. Listen, I got a list here, and this is something we need to talk about. Not just you, but the quitters that we know.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be a list of things that I have quit, because that is not short list.
Oh, no. The only one that I'm aware of is something that I was enjoying that it doesn't exist anymore. It's all about me, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was getting entertainment, and now the entertainment is gone, and come on, goddammit.
I don't know why.
I hear you.
I know why. I just don't care. Now, let's first of all, the context, the overall context of the quitters actually goes to, I don't know if I go so far as to call them our sister show, but definitely our pal show. Chuck versus Mal, which now apparently is no more.
Uh-huh. No,
they've put the shutters up. They've closed. They've put gum in the lock. They're done.
Yep.
Did they do like an official goodbye show? Because I don't listen to podcasts, so I don't know. Did they sign off, or do they just go away and never come back?
Matt,
they're doing a final show coming up.
Yeah. So they're
is this a ploy? Is this like a is this flouncing? Is this like I'm going, you guys? Ratings. I'm running away from home. You guys better try and stop me.
Chuck versus Mal Volume 2.
Yeah, they're walking in separate directions, each carrying a bindle with all their worldly possessions. That's highly possible. No, from what I understand, they have other things they want to do and create. I don't know, creative differences. What's the bullshit line? They're quitters, is what it is.
Yes, basically. Yeah.
And,
Chuck
you know,
wants to spend more time with his family.
Chuck wants to spend more time with his family, Ted Bigsby. And of course, the obvious thing is to say, well, you know, hey, you and Mal have been dating for a bit, and you know, I was so worried about her Yokoing up our show that you went and johned theirs, and I didn't even notice.
Not my fault.
Yeah, no, apparently.
The record will show that I'm pro podcast.
But so that was a hit, and mm-hmm. and that followed right on the heels of I think like last week, Ed had decided, well, hey, well, let you tell the story. You did Bart Don't Lie, which was your great sort of semi-regular chronicling of your travels on the Bay Area Rapid Transit, and then it stopped. Why did it stop?
Well, first of all, we should talk about the reasons that it started, which is because some guy was a dick to me and I wanted to make fun of him on the internet.
I love that
so
guy.
We're on, like, right off the bat, like, as far as creative projects go, like, we're on a very strong foundation, right?
Oh, yeah. Spite is the greatest motivator for any project.
Yes, exactly.
Definitely
exactly.
A fan of that.
Yeah. So yeah, so I was living way out in the East Bay. For people who are not familiar with California geography, that means I was not in San Francisco, but I was commuting via BART into San Francisco for work every day. Mm-hmm. I recently moved into San Francisco, so I no longer ride BART. So BART Don't Lie is sort of without content because I don't ride the train from which I was gathering the content anymore.
Right. And you feel like it's disingenuous to continue under that banner when obviously you don't... Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just
annoying guy in my car today. Oh, wait.
Yeah, it's been, it was a risk that I was aware of from the outset of making it such a single topic, site. I had done sort of a general like, haha, this is funny things that I think of blog in the past, and just never really kept with it. Surprise, because I'm
like,
on Twitter.
Like everyone with a blog. This actually came up too in our Twitter circle. I don't know, and I mean I can think of one or two people, but for the most part, anyone who starts a Tumblr or Blogspot or whatever, keeps up with it for 2 weeks, drops off for a while, comes back to it, and then quits forever. That is what a blog is.
Yeah. So I was aware that there would come a time in the future that I wouldn't be writing BART anymore, and so would have to come up with something else. I just figured that was a problem for future Ed to deal with, and now future Ed is past Ed, and everything's all fucked up.
Thanks a lot, past Ed, you jerk.
You screwed me again.
Damn it. That guy's always doing that.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out a way to keep it in the same tone of making fun of people who are dicks and have no social graces or sense of humanity whatsoever.
Sure.
Yeah, so I'm kind of waiting around for some sort of, trigger that I can spring off from for that, but I should probably stop waiting and just, write something.
Go find some jerks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Listen, you're in California. There is no shortage of jerks.
No, we import them, actually. Like, we have, I think per capita, we have more jerks than anywhere else in the country.
That's right under the Welcome to California sign.
Exactly.
The thing is, and we've been accused of, glorifying our friends' projects, and we do that to some extent. We like to use the small following we have to promote other people's stuff. But really, honestly, and I'm not saying this to kiss your ass, I have no reason to kiss your ass whatsoever because it's not funny to do that. But of the people who have blogs and do things, this is one of the better ideas I've seen. And it's a simple concept, but there was enough in it that you were able to continue doing something cool with it. And I always really enjoyed that. And so,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I bust your balls for being a quitter, but really, like I said, it's for, for selfish reasons because I miss it. I like, it was fun seeing someone keep up with something like that. And you didn't necessarily do it once a week or whatever. You'd have like a flurry of stuff and then you go away for a while, but.
Yeah, it was always, very early on, I decided I was never going to, fake the funk. And so as stuff happened, I would post it and I tried not to, hold stuff back because it would be, funnier a week from now or,
Right.
I mean, God, it'd be very easy to invent hilarious BART stories, I'm sure. But like, I don't want to be that guy who's making up content. So.
No, but you found different angles. Like you, when you started trolling Craigslist for the misconnections, that shit was awesome.
The last time I did that. I saw my first dick pic, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, nice.
Everyone remembers their first.
Let me tell you why it wasn't so nice. I was at work at the time, so...
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was crawling through my RSS feed of Craigslist ads, and this one was just hilariously written. It was like an in-depth description of a way this woman was walking. It was like, the way you walked with your juicy thighs and your knees together and your feet slightly spread, and like, it was really bizarrely like... detail oriented.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, well, this was funny enough for the blog. And so I open it up into like the actual ad so I can, take a screen cap of it. And there's a big fucking dick in my face.
Nice.
So,
awesome.
And that's the moment your boss walks up and says, hey, what are you up to?
Well, the desk behind me had been vacant for months. And of course, this was the first day that somebody was sitting directly behind me.
Oh, of course.
The new recently graduated from college, female, cute female intern, no doubt.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did you work it on there, Ed?
Yeah.
Cock. Damn it.
Don't say cock. Don't say cock. Don't say cock.
I said cock.
Of course you did. Christ. Well, in the meantime, you've been doing this Marvel cards thing.
Yes. I've sort of kicked back up with that. Which is a lot of fun for a comic nerd and specifically a Marvel comic nerd like me. And it's an awesome little snapshot because it's the Marvel Universe Series 3 that I'm working with right now, which I think is from like 92 or 93.
Mm. That sounds about right.
And so it's very much like, you know, them putting on cards and whatnot, what their flavor of the moment was. So, like, apparently the New Warriors were a big thing back in the day. And, like, people were really excited about the Guardians of the Galaxy, which I don't understand. Because there was, like, a midget with a machine gun. And that doesn't seem like a real, cool idea to me. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's sort of just plumbing the depths of like the era when I first got into comics in sort of the early 90s. So it's
sure. And I've been I just got, of course, the I'm gonna be that guy. Well, I just got the iPad, you know.
Of course you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? No, but I mean, I having the ability to carry a bunch of comics around with me is essentially what it comes down to. And of course, I packed it with the stupid official handbook of the Marvel Universe and DC Who's Who, because I'm a sucker for just like ridiculous costumes and reading the general descriptions, and I don't really even care about the stories. I just want to, you know.
Well, and you never know when you're going to need that stuff, you know? I mean, somebody I walk up to you on the street and be like, hey, could you tell me about Ursa Major, please? And you'll just be like, you know, flat
out. But of course!
Well, as a matter of fact.
Right?
You know, you kid, but the first time something like that happened was actually kind of cool. I was having a political debate with my mom, and I said, this is in the Constitution. She said, no, it's not. And this is like 1998 or something. And I pulled out my Palm Pilot, which I happen to have a text file of the Constitution in, because I downloaded everything that was free that was public domain. So
totally.
I had like the complete works of Chaucer and the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. And
I did the same thing on my Kindle. Like the first few things I downloaded were like all just free like documents and, you know, I think probably some Karl Marx or, you know, some
For some reason, they throw in like the escape card from an airliner in case you need that for some reason.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Like, how does this emergency exit work?
Oh, thank God. In case paper somehow fails. I'm glad I got this on my Kindle.
Dang. Everybody calm down. I have my Kindle with me.
Everyone take a look at the... No, not from that angle. You can't see it. There. Okay. Look out for the glare.
Yeah. Don't touch it. It's new.
But I was able to I was able to pull this out and say, look, Article 6, Paragraph 2, the Constitution says, I was like, wow, this is the future. This is... where nerds are going to be more insufferable than ever. And
there's really no greater thrill than saying, in your face, mom.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one thing to have that first time where you challenge your dad to a fight. I never had that. But to beat your mom at civic knowledge, that, you know.
At her own game.
Close second, yeah. Yeah, close exactly. Second.
Well, you know, they always made a big deal about voting and about, you know, politics and all that crap. And
to
actually be more informed than mom was just like, yeah, I win. I am superior. My generation is superior. We win. Yeah, I've never topped that. I peaked there.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's got to peak at some point.
That was really the glimmer. Like, I knew one day we're all going to have Wikipedia and we're all going to have, you know, like, this is just the beginning. From this point forward, we're going to be pulling out little devices from our pockets in barroom arguments.
I'll never lose an argument again.
Oh, no, because they're going to be two people against each other. I've seen this happen. And, Ed, I'm sure you see it happen more as a sports guy, because that's something that people talk about more openly. But two people arguing about someone's batting average or something, and you say, well, fuck it. I'm going to look this up. Fuck you. See? You know, or whatever.
I got into a very long conversation with a guy next to me at a bar who I didn't want to be talking to. And he saw my, you know, he saw my phone and asked me a question. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't know. He's like, well, look it up. No. And so now I'm in a conversation with this guy. So like, it's a double-edged sword.
Did you win though?
It wasn't really an argument so much. He was just using me as like a source of, you know, of information. Like I was his Wikipedia. And then I went to my own Wikipedia, which was on the internet. So,
hey pal, I'm bored. Tell me something.
Yeah. I just want to sit there and watch the game and drink my beer and my whiskey and eat my hamburger.
And this guy wants beer. Oh, well. It's a beautiful story.
There's two kinds of alone at a bar guy, right? Like sometimes there's alone at a bar guy who just wants to sit there and be alone at a bar. And then there's alone at a bar guy who goes there looking for someone else to talk to. I was the former. He was the latter. And so we were at odds.
See, that's why I don't go hang out in bars, is because I'm the guy who wants to be left alone and nobody seems to understand that.
I love bars though. Bars are so great.
Well, you do like to drink.
Yeah, I do.
That much is certain. Maybe you could do a blog about your spiral down into alcoholism.
Oh, that's really sweet. Thank you. Bar don't lie. Shit. I like it. I'm taking notes.
Hey, there you go. Hey, come on. You're Irish. That's a long spiral.
Oh, so racist. So goddamn racist.
Yeah, but am I wrong?
I'm not answering that question. I'm not answering a filthy Scotsman that question.
Well, speaking of stereotypes, actually, because of your cards and because I was looking for kind of, you know, common ground for you being on the show, I'm paging through the the Marvel Handbook. And this is the original one they printed in like 84, 85, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at versions of characters. Matt's like, oh, yeah, that guy's cool now. Oh, yeah, that guy's a badass. Like, really?
Side for 10 years.
Sidewinder's a badass.
Sidewinder's not a badass. Sidewinder somehow escaped from the He-Man universe and the Serpent Society and wound up in the Marvel universe.
I'm pretty sure he changed his name from Sidewinder.
Exactly.
But there's all this ridiculous. I mean, there was Shamrock going back to the Irish thing, which is her power appears to be
shakes.
Yeah, that she only appears in March.
Look out! He's Irish. No, I mean, shit. Look at even the giant size X-Men team. Like that was just an international crew of like one off bad accents and.
Well, now giant size was the first appearance of the team?
That was the first appearance.
Yeah, that was of the second second version with Nightcrawler, Colossus, Banshee.
So is that now? Are we into Claremont at that point, or is that still Stan and Jack?
It was Claremont, wasn't it? It probably was.
Okay, so we're talking in the 70s, 80s?
Cockrum? Dave Cockrum, is that right?
Yeah, Dave
Cockrum.
Am I just
looking for you to say Cockrum? Yeah.
Dave Cockring?
Yeah, Cockrum.
Is that from Cockrum?
Dave Cockring, yes.
Yes, I'm sure he never got that before. No. When are we talking? 70s, 80s, somewhere around there?
Yeah, 70s.
70s, okay. Yeah.
And so, Claremont and his glorious ability to sum up any character with a terrible accent.
Yep. Yeah, and one ethnic catchphrase too, German guys have to say like "Mein Gott," and whatever the Russian guy says, "I like bread lines." I don't know.
Now this was when there was still the Soviet Union. So.
That's right.
Tovarich.
Yeah, Tovarich. Yes. And then
by the White Wolf.
Banshees was good. I think he actually smoked like a long pipe, yeah, like a long leprechaun pipe,
smoked a Gandalf pipe.
Yeah, called everybody lad, laddie. Lad and Lass, yeah.
Oh, Faith and Begorra.
And then, of course, there's our pal Liz Ladner's favorite, Gambit, who, spicy crawdad.
Yeah. He was a much later era, but the same basic character creation model of find one catchphrase or accent and just run with it.
Yep.
I can't imagine why people aren't as interested in comics as they are.
I know, right? I'm rifling through my Marvel cards because I want to find the Siren card so I can accurately read this quote. Siren was, of course, Banshee's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which they had it wasn't apparent at first. Like that was something they discovered, I think, even though she had the same look and the same powers and I think wore the same costume. Yeah. But then everybody was supposed to be surprised when it turned out they were, father and daughter.
Well, it turns out that I'm Banshee's daughter.
All Irish people are related. God damn it.
Again, inaccurate or just offensive?
I don't really know. Why can't it be both? Why can't it be both?
That's fair.
Yeah, I can't find it. So it was something to the effect of I beat up fools like you and then drink a Guinness once a day. And come on.
Only once a day?
Great.
That is so...
turned out to be alcoholic.
Holy God, they made a slapstick card and I haven't written about that yet?
So yeah, you're going through these, and you have a picture of yourself holding up the card, and then you have a paragraph of
yeah, it can be. Oh, here we go. Here's Siren. I found her. Yeah, it's literally wearing Banshee's exact costume. I eat losers like you with a pint of Guinness every day, and that's pint o, not pint of.
Well, of course.
So she's
because she's Irish.
Hella Irish.
Hella Irish.
Her first appearance was in Spider-Woman.
There was a surprise when I was reading this thing, and it's, again, 84, 85, somewhere around there. Maybe even a little earlier, maybe 82, 83. Spider-Woman was in the Book of the Dead.
Which Spider-Woman?
Yes.
The classic one, the one from the 70s with the...
the red and yellow?
Yeah. With the Jessica Drew.
Yeah.
And what's the other one's name?
Is her name also Jessica? Julia Carpenter.
See, I'm just testing Matt. I'm just pretending I don't know just to test him.
Well, I do know when Bendis came up with Alias, he wanted to use Jessica Drew because the last paragraph was that she was a private investigator. Like, she gave up being a superhero and was a private investigator. And I guess they didn't let him use her or he, I don't know, something. And
probably
so
because of the butt-fucking.
That could be.
Yeah, that'll do the trick nicely.
Although, what's the difference, really? I mean, now we love Jessica Jones. So.
We do. We do very much.
Plus, that butt fucking is still in contention. Citation needed.
It's true. That's true. It's implied.
This, going back to the message board where we all met, this was one of the ongoing debates for years.
Yes.
For
far too long. It's a conversation that should last 8.5 minutes at most. Yeah. And it's still going on.
I do not doubt that if I were to go back there, there's a thread somewhere where people are still talking about this. Where there's in this comic, if you haven't heard of it, Alias, which is one of Bendis's best works, like awesome book.
Very good. And we should mention Michael Gatos as well. Brilliant.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, more adult superhero stuff, but not that over the top adult, like everyone's
not Mark Miller adult where they just put a lot of like, you know, like tits and headshots in it, but like actual like mature stories.
Yeah. She's got some pretty complex issues that she's dealing with, and she's kind of self-destructive. And a lot of the stuff she does is really, it's like watching a really well-written drama now where the main character's making all these horrible mistakes and you can't look away, but you just want to smack them, that kind of thing. Absolutely great book, but there's a panel. Wasn't it in like the first issue?
Yeah, that was the first issue.
Where she's having sex with Luke Cage, Power Man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he's taking her from behind, and it's like, well, everyone assumed that some kind of buttfuckery was going on there, but there's no actual proof of that.
Yeah, there's some dialogue about, you know, letting him do something like that you normally wouldn't let him do, and there's a very like harsh grimace on her face, but
there's no actual dialogue box that says, "I am taking it in the ass right now."
No, there is not.
And see, listen, we are in the era of Wikipedia now. We need, you know, we need hard data. We need
citation needed.
Yes, exactly. You can't just imply, you can't read between the lines. That's not how it works.
In fact, I might put like, we should go to the Wikipedia page and put up very explicitly, like, you know, some information about anal sex, implied or otherwise, onto the Alias Jessica Jones page.
There should be a whole section.
Well, and just to watch the people, like, I don't know if you've ever clicked on the discussions tab of a Wikipedia page.
Oh,
don't. These people are crazy. These people make message board people and YouTube commenter people look like balanced. Like they're just, it's frightening to me.
Well, see, we've been looking for more submissions for our Never Scroll Down feature, so maybe I will click that.
Well, except that it's sort of the opposite of Never Scroll Down, because it's not like nonsensical, like, you know, just shitting out of your mouth. It's like very like well-written and articulate and time-intensive thoughts about shit that absolutely doesn't matter.
And the thing is, I've seen this in us. I see it more in Matt than me, and that's not an insult, because you hold it back.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I see these tendencies in us. You know this stuff, but I always watch you reach a point where you're like, actually, no, you know what? It doesn't matter.
No, I have a switch in my brain. I'm like, you know what? I refuse to care about this. I've done that even while going through the Marvel cards. I'm like, like this person, it seems like there's more to this person than is on like the back of their card. But you know what? I'm not going to go looking for that information, because I don't need to know. I don't want to know.
Don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
But Matt, I mean, you know, we brought up some Marvel characters before, and you definitely have this encyclopedic knowledge, but I know the battle in your head between what's funny and what's accurate. What's funny wins 9 times out of 10, because who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an important filter that most people seem to be born without.
Well, actually, really. If you look, then in issue 478...
Shut up, Mr. Hengis.
I just wanted to help.
But yeah, there's this everyone seen, and that's the thing. Does it matter if that horrible sex act even happened in that book? Not really, but you know.
See, what disappoints me about Wikipedia is like now that kind of thing is available online. Back like if Alias had come out back in the 80s, mm-hmm. then it would have a little box in it that said Jessica Drew was first butt fucked in Alias issue. Smile and Stan.
Smile and Stan. Sodomy Stan.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah. Well, moving on.
We really lost something.
Moving on to the Smurfs.
Yes.
I was like, Jesus, I'm getting a little better with the segues, but I'm like, how do we go from butt fucking to Smurfs? I don't even know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was butt fuck Smurf.
He wasn't in the show proper, but in some of the spinoff materials written online, mostly by Matt.
No, this was a thing, and Ed doesn't remember this because it was like 2 years ago, and there's no reason he should remember it.
Yeah, there's only so much space in my brain.
I made a note of this for the first time we had you on the episode 7 or whatever it was, and it's like, this was funny.
Hold
you brought it up.
Fights?
Yes, exactly. That's
which
one.
Will inevitably be on your greatest hits album. I mean, let's be real.
Undoubtedly.
Of course.
When we forced you to talk about Star Trek again.
God damn it.
But this was something you had brought up years ago on Twitter, like when I first started on Twitter, and I thought it was just a funny little tangent, which was, I guess, in your office or maybe at a bar you were hanging out with, it somewhere where you had a group of nerds together.
Sure.
People were
everywhere I ever go. If there's me and one other person there, there's a group of nerds there. So yeah.
Fair enough. Now, what's the collective noun for nerd? Do we know that?
You mean like a murder of crows?
Yeah.
I don't know. A pocket protector of nerds?
That's not bad, but it's a little clumsy. I think
a sigh of nerds.
An awkward of nerds.
That's pretty good. You guys were discussing Gargamel, the evil wizard from the Smurfs, why he was chasing them, what he wanted to do with them.
Was he a wizard? Was he a sorcerer? Do we know what his occupation was?
Well, that was the thing.
I'm sure he was a wizard.
One side thought he was an alchemist.
He doesn't have a beard, so it's hard for me to picture him as a wizard without him having a beard.
Well, some guys can't grow beards. Matt can't grow a beard.
That's a good point.
True. I think technically if he can't grow a beard, he's actually a warlock.
Maybe a sorcerer? No, sorcerers need a beard too, I think.
Yeah. Do they? I don't know.
They either need to be a need a beard or to be Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, no, he was just only apprentice. He never made it to.
No, but he would have been a sorcerer eventually.
Thanks. He was fucking with the brooms all the time. You can't mess with the brooms and expect to make full sorcerer.
Yeah, no, you get kicked out of the guild for that.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, what am I going to get to be a sorcerer, dude? You fucked with my brooms. Get
wow, that is a scary accurate Mickey Mouse impersonation.
Well, thank you.
We've mentioned this before. Mickey Mouse has absolutely no personality whatsoever.
None.
He is the blandest cultural icon. Yep. Like Bugs Bunny is has character, and like all our other great like sort of, you know.
Well, Bugs Bunny's kind of a dick, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but we love him for that. But he's only a dick to the right people.
He's only a dick if you fuck with him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, you know, not to get too deep with it, but really, he's like America during the war. Like he keeps that's really what it was like when they made those cartoons. Yeah, he was hanging out. He's trying not to get involved, and then people fucked with him. And then, all right, that's it. That's enough. You pissed me off now.
A bunch of really, really racist caricatures of other people came and fucked with him. Yes. And he had to get his.
Yep. And he won in the end. And then he took it too far. That's pretty much how it went. So, the Smurfs thing. The argument was, is he looking for them? And one side thought Gargamel wanted the Smurfs for some kind of magic alchemy spell that would turn them into gold. Mm-hmm. And then the other side thought he just wanted to eat them.
I don't know if he would turn them into gold or if they were an ingredient in some sort of potion that could create gold or something.
Turn lead into gold. Right. Yeah, he needed them as fuel for his alchemy machine, let's say.
Right.
So it's just like in his book, it's just like add 3 crushed Smurfs, a teaspoon of whatever.
Right. Exactly. And he had all the other ingredients and, you know, that's it. And he tried substituting and, you know, it just doesn't work.
Sure, yeah.
No, see, once he was done catching Smurfs, he would have moved on to Snorks, Care Bears, My Little Ponies.
Snorks were the worst.
Well, they were underwater Smurfs.
My Little Pony hoofs. Fine.
Well, those would have been easy to get. My Little Ponies had no defense mechanisms at all.
Well, they were ponies. I mean, horses are inherently scary.
I suppose that's true. And I think there was like a unicorn.
Yep. Have you ever seen a horse eat an apple? It just eats the whole thing. It just eats it. I hate horses.
Yeah. Imagine doing that to your face.
See, now there's your new blog. I hate horses. It sounds like you got a whole list of reasons that horses should be feared and cast out. So,
dude, horses are the devil.
They can't be trusted. They're very, very large, huge teeth, and they never do what you want. Like, they pretend they're going to do what you want them to do, but then they just go off on their own.
Yeah, and they're completely insane.
I'm only familiar with horses in the abstract. I see them in, you know, in movies and stuff, and people jump on them and they ride around, and that seems, you know, it's like a dog but more useful.
Hollywood has lied to you, Al. It's lied to you again and again. Horses are not to be trusted. It's a whole different show. We'll talk about it some other time.
That's fair. There's definitely a material to be mined here.
When you do Animals I Hate Week, you call me back.
Ooh, that would be a good show.
No, we're going to have to do separate chapters of that because Matt's going to have to do an entire show about the sea and everything in it.
Ugh.
It's just terrible with the waves and the seaweed. I mean, even before you get into the fish.
Thank you.
For the most part, I'm cool with animals. Possums I hate, but other than that.
Oh my God, possums are terrible. Have you ever looked into their eyes? They've got no soul. It's they've got dead scary eyes.
Yeah, I've always
smile. Ugh.
Yeah, I've always believed that otters are sort of like the most awesome animal there is, and possums are like their evil doppelgangers.
I watched my elderly neighbor beat a possum to death with a stick one time, which you would think would be a really sad thing, but possums.
I'm not usually down with cruelty in animals, but I think I could get behind that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it went in his garage. It was on his turf, you know, so what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's fair game there.
Exactly.
Possum. You don't go into a man's garage unless you want a savage beating.
This is what I'm saying.
Now, did he make soup with it or did he try to turn it into gold?
Honestly, like he swung at it like 12 different times, and I think he only hit it twice, but it was enough to at least stun it so he could like hockey stick it out of his garage.
Hockey stick it. That's a sports reference, right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I'm just it's not an anti-sports thing. It's just a language thing. I'm just trying to track the etymology of your of your syntax.
Hockey used to be played with possums back when it was first being invented.
That's where the expression playing possum comes from.
It's exactly where it comes from.
All right. So
after the game ended, whoever was left would die.
Well, who can't get behind that?
Exactly.
No one I want to talk to.
So I was thinking about this Gargamel thing, and really there's not much here, but I none of us could remember, and I've brought this up to people, and about half of them say one thing and half of them say the other. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned it actually, and we're not doing the take a drink thing anymore. So if you want to take a drink, go ahead, but you don't have to.
I've been doing that for the last hour. But
very well. I happened to mention this to Famous Mark, and he's like, "Really? This is what you're talking about?" I was like, "No. What did he want?" And he paused for a few minutes. He's like, "I don't know. Didn't he want to eat them or turn them into gold or something?" Like, see, you don't know. He's like, "Oh God, I don't." And he started thinking about it. He's like, "I really can't remember."
And now this is in my head forever.
Yeah.
So near as I can tell, because I've done the absolute like bare minimum amount of research on this,
I mentioned to you that we might bring it up. So you know.
So near as I can tell, it was your classic 80s cartoon thing where they just made it up from episode to episode. And so like sometimes he wanted to, you know, make them into gold or use them to make things into gold. And sometimes he wanted to make them into pie. And sometimes he was just pissed at them because they were happy all the time, which I totally get.
Yeah, I think all three of us can get behind that one.
Yeah,
we all have those neighbors, la 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 la, the bass thumping through the walls.
Oh my God! If my neighbor la 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 la, I would have to murder him. It's bad enough that he, you know, barely put his pants on to answer the door when I knocked on it a while back. But yeah, if he sang, that'd be no good.
I think you're trying to top. What's that?
At least your neighbor doesn't play the accordion.
Oh God! Does your neighbor play the accordion?
Yes. He does not. Oh, mine doesn't. We're talking about Matt now. I don't like that. Let's talk about me some more.
Listen. The thing is, I'm looking at the Skype window and I'm looking at the picture of Matt when I start talking to him. I think you guys know. No, I'm making eye contact with Matt's little cartoon guy. Obviously, I'm talking to Matt.
That is so weird. Do not look me in the eye, cartoon or otherwise. Okay, that's a rule.
All right. I will keep my head down from now on. No, Matt, really, your neighbor plays the accordion?
Yes, he's in an Oompa band.
See, I think as a general rule, I don't think I'm going to piss anyone off here. I don't think anyone but Weird Al Yankovic should play the accordion at all.
Yep.
Take the accordions out of everyone's hands. He's the only one that's allowed, period.
What about John Candy from Home Alone? One of those guys in his band play the accordion.
Yeah, but John Candy's dead, so it doesn't matter
anymore. Polka, polka, polka. Never mind.
What about Handsome Pete? He plays the accordion for nickels.
Yeah, that's a cartoon.
See, so
all your examples are – yeah, exactly. It's fine.
Oh, so you're drawing a line between fictional examples and real examples now. When did that become a rule?
Well, until I see Sidewinder in the flesh.
Citation needed.
He's hanging around outside your house right now.
Oh, man. At least he doesn't have an accordion.
If he did, it would be made of snakeskin.
God. So, yeah, we couldn't figure out this whole Gargamel thing. And it's like, well, I guess Ed's pretty much hit it, which is, yeah, back then they did whatever they wanted.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't mind the... the whole thing about a villain when he's after something at first, and then after a while, what drives him is that the hero kept, you know, thwarting him, and now he's just pissed off at the hero. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't sound like money, but now it's personal.
Right. But that doesn't sound like what it's like. It sounds like each time he just wakes up, and it's like the Memento guy. He wakes up with a fresh, different thing about the Smurfs.
But still wakes up in his same long black nightshirt with like patchwork pairs on.
I want to doubles out into the daylight.
He's got the patches on each elbow. So like, was that just a wear and tear thing, or was he trying to like appear dignified with like the patches on a tweed jacket? I want to know if this was intentional tailoring or if this was just repair work.
Well, you know, a nightshirt and a rope belt. You need all the dignity you can get.
And those weird, it's like he's got red boots, but then also like the like red tights or red socks or something. Yeah. It's a very weird look. I can't understand. He's got a hunchback. He's a troubled man. I feel bad for him.
And the thing is, you had pointed out that in your research that he was always forgetting where the Smurf Village was. And it seems like this is a sad old man suffering from dementia who's confused and angry, but not necessarily evil.
Yeah, it's like, can't find my Smurfs, can't find my car keys, don't remember where I live. Like, these are all problems that we're all going to have eventually.
Talking to my cat.
Yep.
Did the cat talk, or did it just, like, motion?
Okay,
it didn't actually talk to him, though.
Well, but, so you know, it would
maybe it talked to him, but it never talked to us.
Right.
It was one of those cat, like, those cartoon animals that didn't actually talk, but still acted like...
Had a very, like, human personality.
Shit.
Yeah, it wasn't full-on Scooby-Doo where he, you know... Mm-hmm. He would actually say words, but a lot of the times the tone, like if there was a bad smell, he would go, meow, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Sure. Like Mad Cat.
Yes, much like Mad Cat.
I don't even know who that is.
Inspector
You don't
Gadget.
Have to tell me, it's fine. Oh, yeah, Inspector Gadget, gotcha, okay, yeah.
And I only mention that connection because I think probably, well, I think Frank Welker did the voice of every cartoon animal ever. But I'm pretty sure he did both of their voices.
Okay.
So,
well, I'll trust your judgment.
Frank Welker's just one of those guys. He does, like, every animal cartoon character.
He does all animated cats ever.
Yeah.
He had a very strong meow, and he just made a career out of that. So good for him, really.
Well, like on Futurama, if they need a flock of geese, he does the entire flock in one take. I don't know how he does it. He's got some weird Tuven throat singer thing that he can just, I don't know, harmonize with himself. It's fucking bizarre.
That's pretty
awesome. All right, what are we doing today? Geese? Ah! All right, I'm out of here. All right,
yeah.
Frank Welker, ladies and gentlemen.
Dub it, repeat it. Finished.
Hey! All right. Yeah, but and then I was looking at the trailer for the forthcoming, obviously, they're making this live-action Smurfs movie.
Why wouldn't they?
And, you know, the thing is, okay, fine. They're mining the 80s for new movies. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to get angry. They're not raping my shark or anything like that.
You think they just hope that if they make enough movies from the 80s that the entire, like, Coke-fueled mania of Hollywood in the 80s will come back? I think it's just all a ploy to get Coke and hookers back into Hollywood the way it was back in the day.
Well, what they need to do is make...
The only justification I can see for the Yogi Bear marketing campaign.
Great things come in bears.
But I mean, I don't care. Like, okay, they're marketing stuff from before to kids now. I'm over getting mad about that. That's fine.
Sure.
But the setting of this is modern day New York. And it's like, you know, one of the big things about that show was that they're in a medieval village and there's magic. And that's really it. Like, it's not hard to do that with CG now. Why put it in New York? It just seems dumb. And it's not like, oh no,
because
precious continuity.
You can make pop culture references.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah, and it gives people, like, recognizable landmarks, you know? Like, the Smurfs out in, like, the forest, it's boring. But, oh, the Smurfs go to the Statue of Liberty. That's outstanding.
Yeah, but, plus then we can do the marketing thing where we paint the Statue of Liberty blue.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right. You guys sold me. I yep. stand corrected.
So you're saying we're going to...
Or possibly gold, I'm not sure.
they blew the Statue of Liberty?
Oh.
Yes. I'm sorry, I just blew myself.
Yeah, you both kept competing Arrested Development references going at the same time.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. Hey, so we got some mail here.
I love mail.
Do you really?
I mean, I just moved into a new place. I'm mostly getting the previous resident's mail, but she seems to know a lot of people. Oh, also, nice. Victoria's Secrets catalogs, but that's, you know, another show nice, or my private time.
Listen, we have the internet now. Those things, like, it's like, you know, getting off to a daguerreotype. It's just, it's not...
It's probably true.
Not really worth your time.
Fine.
Sexy silhouettes. All right. First email comes from Dirk Walker, and he writes, Dear Al, Matt, and Podguest, why do artists put parentheses around part of song titles when it doesn't show up in the show at all except for the title?
So, no, I thought you were supposed to whisper about that part.
No, it's like, and now I have absolutely no examples. I mean, I'm sure you've seen song titles like this. I'm gonna search my iTunes library for parentheses and hope that it's in there.
Okay, I'll wait here while you do that.
Very well. Yeah. Okay,
Matt, sing some hold music.
Very nice.
Fuck you.
Now I hate you for your joy. All right, the first obvious example that everyone's going to know is the Aerosmith song, which is officially titled "Dude." Parentheses looks like a lady.
Interesting. Didn't even know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Another one, the Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right, in parentheses, to party.
To party.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not just right in general.
No. You're definitely not fighting for any right. Listen, this is 1986 Beastie Boys. They're not fighting for shit.
You got to fight for your right to vote.
Didn't they have a pie fight in one of their videos?
Yes, they did. In fact, they're doing they're revisiting that ridiculous video.
Oh, I want it so bad.
With a 30-minute short, which actually sounds really cool.
I'm into it.
But, I'm trying to see. There's a lot of – and it happens with more pretentious music, which I'm not going to defend my tastes as being, you know, great. But I don't have a lot of pretentious music in here. And so I don't really have a lot of examples of the kind of stuff that he's talking about. But
okay.
There would always be like one title and then the real title in parentheses or something like that.
Yeah. We should ask Chuck. He'd know.
Yeah. Chuck actually would be sort of our go-to. Hey, it's not like he's got a podcast to be on anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
All kinds of freedom. My only real complaint with this is when like – you know, something starts with parentheses, especially like a band or like the title of, you know, the title of an album or something like that.
Because I think I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
It throws off the sorting, you know? Yeah, so it's like, I go to look for something, but it's in parentheses, so it's not where it should be. It's with the punctuation things.
Yeah, that's bullshit. I actually, for a while, the band A-ha was coming up first when I sorted by artist because it was A-ha.
Yes.
And it was like, damn it, I'm called Algar for a reason. I want my song to come up first because it's double A.
Yeah, when I accidentally hit the play all button on my iPod, the first thing that comes up is an A-ha song. The very first thing.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
See, now I'm scrolling through here and I'm trying to find additional. A lot of times it's like in parentheses is the title you would probably know it by. Like What the World Needs Now, parentheses, Love, Sweet Love.
Interesting. I've never paid attention to this ever in my life and I will not going forward. So this question's boring me.
Very well. Dirk is a DJ. He knows his way around music. And so,
okay. So this is relevant to his profession. But as far as I'm concerned, the song is called Dude Looks Like a Lady and I totally ignore any parentheses.
No, the song is called Dude.
Nope, it's called Dude Looks Like a Lady.
And then you multiply dude.
Foil, first, inner, outer. How do I still remember that?
I don't know. Same reason I remember Avogadro's number, 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd.
I'll believe you.
It's for chemistry, and I have no idea why.
Did not take chemistry, took biology.
Very well. All right, next one.
Earth science.
Next one comes from John Wiggins, and it's actually got some of that kind of syntax in here. Hello, Algar, Matt, and if guest equals true, print guest name.
Ed, done.
Programming joke. If the two are... what?
Nothing, go on.
Very well. Oh, do you got some nerd...
No, I just think programming joke, just by definition, is not a joke, but go on.
Oh, I don't know. Futurama pulled off a couple. They got the sign up in somebody's house that says 10 home, 20 suite, 30 go to 10. I thought that was
cool. Probably just flew right over my head. That's one of those. That was one of those 3% jokes that I did not get.
You didn't program in BASIC briefly, like in the 80s?
No, I have no like programming coding knowledge whatsoever. I'm in that weird like right in between phase where if I had put actual genuine effort into wanting to learn it, like it was all available to me.
Right.
Or I could just be like inter-dumb like, you know, everyone else.
Oh, fair enough.
Plus, I grew up in the sticks. We had like 3 computers in the whole school.
Well, we didn't have many either, but that was the only programming language was BASIC and there was like very aptly named.
Yeah.
You can print the word penis on the screen infinitely. That's pretty much it.
That's what computers are for.
Yes. So he writes, if the two or three of you are stranded on a boat in the middle of the ocean, who would eat who first? This is actually similar to something you brought up the other day when the power went out at your work. So you've given us a little thought.
It was out for half an hour. Things got real.
And there's technology involved in your job, too. It's not like you're out there on a construction site or something.
Exactly. Well, I feel like I'm just the guest, and so I assume you two would have a natural alliance despite your, you know, like basic animosity towards each other. I'd like
you'd
to think, think so, that Al and I would team up and murder Matt and eat him. But that's only because, you know, he can't grow a beard, so he's much more hairless, and there would just be less cleaning involved.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Pretty understandable.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
Plus, he's Canadian, so he's naturally maple cured, which I think would be delicious.
Well, maple bacon is delicious. So.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know, Matt. What do you think?
All I know is I grow fingernails really fast, so you're gonna have to pull those out.
Is Matt hitting on me right now?
Not if you're not responsive.
See, the thing is that this is all situational for me. If we're sitting in the boat and we've been out there for days and we're dehydrated and we're starting to hallucinate, I'm going to go for whichever of you turns into a turkey before my eyes first.
Reasonable.
I can't make the call.
Well, this is really easy.
Yeah,
1, 2, 3, not it.
No, I can't make the call until one of you like visibly turns into food in front of me. Otherwise, it's all hypothetical. And
I really can't fight your Bugs Bunny instincts. I understand.
All right. Next one comes from Mike X. And he writes, Dear Al, Matt, and possible guest, my wife and I are leaving this week on a vacation to Florida. After listening to episode 107, I'm a little concerned. We're planning to go on a boat tour to look at dolphins, and I'm wondering what to do if they get violent. Did we talk about violent dolphins?
We did.
Okay, I'll take your word for that. Do you have any tips on how to fight a dolphin? Do they have
God
any weaknesses?
God forbid you know the history of your own show, but go on.
Listen, did you catch the 107 part?
I don't listen to this show.
But did you listen to me talking just now?
Only I just wait for you to mention my name and then I chime in.
Very well. We've done 107 of these. I don't remember his name at this point.
That's a good point.
Do you have any tips on how to fight a dolphin? Do they have any weaknesses to exploit? I once saw a dolphin leap through a guy's chest, so this is not a hypothetical question. Thanks, Mike. P.S. I vote for adding the Orson Welles of Earths 1 and 2 to Nick and Willikin's cast. Maybe the clone derived from the combination of their DNA. That's definitely a topic that worth exploring for another time, but let's talk about this dolphin thing.
Well, I think Matt is on record as hating the sea and everything in it.
Yeah. Do dolphins count? Because, I mean, yeah, they're in the sea, no doubt about that. But they are mammals. They, I think, can survive out of the water. Like, they, you know.
Yeah, so can whales. I hate them.
Well, that's
Let's
fair.
Test that theory by taking a bunch of them out of the water and seeing what happens.
How you doing, dolphin?
The thing is, I don't think they'll be happy, but I don't, you know, they don't need to breathe down there.
Yeah, no, but why do whales die when they beach themselves? That's because they can't get any food?
They can breathe, but they still need to stay wet.
Ah.
That's why in free will, it can transport them as long as they kept spraying them with a hose.
Which is also how I get transported. I do okay. not fly commercial. It's bad news.
Did you just make a Kevin Smith joke?
Jackson sing your,
no, that song. Wasn't. It wasn't about me being the size of a whale and not fitting in the seat. It was about me needing to be hosed down every half hour.
Well, look, when you compare yourself to a whale and then talk about flying commercially, it's not hard to make that leap.
Reasonable. Yeah. I do not wear shorts, so I'm not in Kevin Smith's league. Good I man. Wear shorts a lot. He's a grown man. Why is he wearing shorts all the time?
He's also wearing a bathrobe a lot of the time.
Point. Yeah.
Anyway,
dolphins are assholes. Let's be real, okay? Like they've got like the cute, like you know, like reputation, but no, dolphins are dicks.
Yeah, that's just to lure you into a false sense of security, and then mm-hmm. they fuck you.
Well, yes. See, well, that did happen on that King of the Hill episode. You're right about that.
And there was the woman that married that dolphin.
Yeah, that is what? True. Yeah, we'll provide a link to that. That did happen. I don't know if it was. Mm-hmm. legally recognized, but a woman did marry a dolphin.
Okay, well.
I think, basically, she was on the payroll of, like, super hardcore conservatives so that someone could say, see? That's what happens. That's yeah. what happens if you let this
First
happen.
First the gays, then yeah. the dolphins.
Yeah. I don't know. See, I think dolphins are cute. I actually do fall for it. However, I do think they're ready. They're ready to pounce. Mm-hmm. If we mm-hmm. falter in the slightest, they're ready to be at the top of the food chain. Like, we've heard for years that they're, after us, they're it. And so they know that, and they're waiting, and they're just, you know, we're going to fuck up somehow, and they're going to take over.
Yep.
And they've been tagged that whole, like, you know, smarter than humans thing for quite a while now, and I feel like they're getting a little cocky about it.
Yeah, exactly. Although, you know, Douglas Adams did make a good point in one of the Hitchhiker's books where, you know, a man points out that all dolphins ever do is play in the water all day, and people say, yep, there you go.
Good Not point. A bad life. Not yeah. bad work if you can get it.
Exactly.
Nope.
There is actually a video that our pal Dewey posted that's been making the rounds, and I'll provide a link to this for people who haven't seen it, which mm-hmm. is a cat at, I don't know, SeaWorld or something, and a dolphin keeps jumping up, and the cat's, like, swatting at it, and it is just – it's adorable. It's one of
yes,
those –
Yes, I heard about this. I didn't yeah. watch the video because I was prepping for the show, and I felt like I should stay angry because that's, you know, when I'm at my best, so I didn't want to watch anything cute. But Fair. As soon as we're done here to decompress, I'm going to watch that cute video.
You will laugh and clap your hands like an idiot because that's what those things are for.
When am I not doing that?
Well, if you're clapping your hands like an idiot, you're keeping it quiet, which is good. I appreciate that. You got the oven mitts on.
Exactly. Well, I wear those all the time for safety, so I don't poke myself in the eye.
Good man. Actually, you posted a thing. You're pretty good about this. Every now and then, you'll dig up one of the cute animal things that I haven't seen a million other places. You had the pictures of basset hounds running.
That was the greatest thing in the entire world. They've got so much extra skin, and they're just – it's all in motion when they run.
Yep.
God, that was fantastic.
I'll send that link to you again. You can put it in the show notes because yeah, people definitely. Should see that. If people haven't seen it, they should see that.
Yeah. And listen, the internet is all about, you know, adorable animals, and we're all cynical dudes, and we're still okay with that. So
exactly.
The basset hound, nature's parachute.
My dog is part basset.
That was my favorite thing. I think it was the Looney Tunes one where, like, it would be the basset hound would be, like, walking in one direction, and then its head would sort of, like, suck in and then just pop out the other end of the dog. Like, my favorite basset hound trick.
Nice. All right. So, as far as defending yourself against dolphins, I don't know.
You have no defense. I mean, they're trained to kill from birth, so you're done for.
And the bottlenose seems like a really smart evolutionary advantage. Like they got sort of a stabby projectile right on the front of their face.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not pointy. Like it's not going to run you through, but it's going to provide some blunt force trauma, and you're going to go down for the count.
The thing is,
I mean, we're not talking about narwhals here.
But those
we're never
are...
talking about narwhals. Okay,
no, let's just
you and your
that.
Narwhal racism.
There goes a narwhal. But no, you know, if you're in the water, dolphins can swim with, you know, considerable force. If they come at you with that thing aimed at your midsection, it's not sharp, but it's still going to cause some internal injury.
Exactly. I mean, bullets aren't sharp, but they still blast right through you. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure dolphins can swim at the speed of sound. I don't really know a lot about science, but that's probably true.
They're Olympic level swimmers. If the official handbook of dolphins is to be believed,
the official handbook of the dolphin universe.
The dolphin universe. Next one comes
from Dolphin Galactus.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh man, now I want to see a dolphin with Galactus helmet on.
Every thousand years, he comes to Earth to balance it on his nose.
Of course, that suddenly the Silver Surfer actually makes sense.
Yeah,
the Silver Surfer never makes sense. Okay, come on.
Buck naked on a surfboard flying through space. What's the problem?
Hey, you guys, surfing's cool. We should make a superhero about that. Okay. All these early pitch meetings, I think, went exactly like that. I mean, that's how Rocket Racer showed up. Skateboarding's cool. Guy on a skateboard.
Still makes more sense than Death wearing skis.
Point.
All right. Next one comes from Deke Winsome. He says, I'm not one to pick fights with you guys over serious political issues, but allowing such strongly worded anti-pickle rhetoric on your show disgusts and offends me. See, this I do remember. This was when we had Flonk on and we were talking about the war on pickles.
Yeah, Flonk's whole pickle thing is weird, but
I'm behind him on that. He says, there's nothing so good as slurping down a cool, delicately spiced dill on a hot summer's day. Here you go, taking whose side in this war on pickles? Flonk's. You're taking Flonk's side. I'm so angry, I'm going to boycott your show and all its sponsors, at least until episode 107. I may also punch Flonk in the back of the head.
Well, we all want to punch Flonk in the back of the head.
Which brings me to my question, what is your favorite kind of pickle? I do like that Deke is not from our circle from the message board. He's not on Twitter. He's just someone who wandered in and started listening to the show, and we've convinced him to hate Flonk.
Our work here is done.
I feel we're doing the Lord's work here.
Hate a Flonk a day, every day. That's all we ask.
Yep.
I really do not like pickles, but the thing about the war on pickles, it's not really about pickles to me. It's about having your waiter slave do what they're told.
Yeah, it's not about pickles. It's about crappy waiters.
Yeah, exactly. And Flonk as a waiter being the spokesman for that makes perfect sense, because then you can't say, oh, well, you're just being a dick to waiters. No.
No.
And he's right. Like, if you don't want pickles on something and you get them on something, even if you take them off,
the pickle juice gets everywhere and everything tastes like pickle and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you like them, I guess that's okay. But
I love all kinds of pickles. Not on everything, but like there's a time and a place for a pickle.
All right. Well, the question is, what's your favorite kind?
Bread and butter.
Want some bread and butter pickle? Give me that bread and butter pickle. Bread and butter pickle.
Bread and butter pickles. Yeah, they're good.
Oh, I hate pickles too. The only time I will eat a pickle is on an A&W cheeseburger. Type that is.
Weirdly specific.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I don't know what to tell you.
All right, next one comes again from Dirk.
That shit's how I roll.
Dirk says, this is more a request, but could you guys film some PSAs a la The More You Know the next time you're together, preferably with your puppets. Just bring the puppets back. I'm actually not familiar with the More You Know.
PSAs. Seriously?
Yeah.
You know, they were NBC staples for a lot of years.
Yeah, but that was like, there's a period when I graduated high school and I didn't have, it's not like I was too good for TV. I didn't have cable and I couldn't get anything.
So I don't even own a TV.
No, I owned one, but I lived in the sticks and I didn't have rabbit ears, so I couldn't pick anything up. So from like 1992 to like 1999, I didn't watch much TV.
And that's like seriously the exact wheelhouse of The More You Know PSS.
Okay, you just crowbarred wheelhouse in. Like, that was the worst. That was really awkward, dude.
Look, crowbarring wheelhouse in is his wheelhouse.
Well, you got me there.
That was worse. Yep. Go on.
In the 80s, they had one to grow on, which I think is the same thing.
Similar thing. Yeah, they changed the catchphrase, but it's the same. It's the same principle.
And it's like they give you some kind of moral lesson. Some celebrity that you know walks out and tells you, like, don't take candy from strangers. That's one to grow on.
Standing in front of like a blank back screen, like speaking in very solemn tones.
Yep.
Despite the fact they're nothing but a comedian on their show all the time. But they're like, but I know I'm funny, but let's get serious for a second. I don't care.
Let's never get serious.
I'm Pee Wee Herman. Crack is bad.
Oh, man. I know we've linked to that before, but now I want to link to it again. That was awesome.
It should just be in the show notes for every show just to remind people.
I think when we were coming up with a list of quotes to open with, Matt's list was, he had some standards in there. And then he had that one. I'm like, what is this? Oh, yes.
Yep.
But the problem is I didn't want to open with the whole 30 seconds, and you can't cut that.
Yeah, it's got, you got to run it in its entirety.
Every bit of it's gold. So, I suppose we could do that. We the puppets seem to be fairly popular. We could. Sure.
Who doesn't like puppets?
We could teach about the evils of pickles and how to defend yourself against a dolphin.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Any other suggestions? Any possibilities, guys?
I think those are the two major issues, you know, facing kids today, which is what this would be aimed at. That and, you know, Smurf awareness. But
here's a chart of the common Smurfs that you may see.
Yeah.
How to make gold using only the common Smurf.
Maybe some sort of PSA, like explaining to people that, like, if you're going to become a superhero, you don't have to be defined by your one ethnic stereotype identifying characteristic.
That would be,
you know,
fantastic.
But that seems like pretty, that's a pretty narrow target.
Well, it's still something people need to know.
It's like, if you're a Native American character, you don't have to have fringe on your costume. You know? It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to have feathers hanging from stuff.
You don't
have to relate every situation to your people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And that goes into Star Trek. There's a lot of that in Voyager with the with the Native American first officer. He's always like, well, my people have a story. Shut up.
Back on the reservation. We get it.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we're guilty, okay?
Right.
All right. One more.
Who
from...
Who cares what you think, face tattoo?
you're the Mike Tyson of the outer space.
If we were back on Earth, you couldn't get a job.
We got one more from Dirk here. It is a picture of our pal Adrian dressed as a nurse.
I don't want to see that ever. Don't put that in the show notes.
Oh, it'll be there.
Damn it.
It'll be in the show notes, but it will also be hidden under a link to something else.
Nice. Yeah. So it's like free money. I like free money. No.
Damn it.
Fooled by you again, internet.
Next one comes
free money
from...
and kittens. Ah!
Here's the kitten petting the dolphin. Oh, god damn it. The Adrian nurse will be the Rick roll of 2011.
That's right. It's going to be a thing.
Yep. Next one comes from, Ed scared up one of his pals to write in, Adam. And he says, thanks for taking my question. First, I'm happy to see Ed didn't go all Capote on us and he decided to pursue the ladies. I guess the quarter landed on heads this time, huh? All right, then.
Adam's an old college roommate, and we have a long history of, you know,
calling each other gay.
Yeah, a lot of gay jokes. There's a lot of gay. Yeah.
Hey, we know that territory. We're we're comfortable there.
Who started that rumor?
Yeah.
Go on.
Here's my question. Ed, with all of your fame, charm, and facial hair, do you ever plan on crediting your college freshman roommate for forging your comedic talents? Signed, a fan.
Signed, a fan. Yeah. No, I'm going to give him no credit at all. He was the worst. No, he was like only the fourth worst roommate I've ever had. So that's, you know.
Out of how many total roommates, really?
Oh, God. I don't know, a dozen or so over the years, probably.
Okay. So, you know, he's in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. 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 No, he gets no credit whatsoever. He would occasionally – if I look Irish, he looks super Irish. He's a short, stocky Irish man. Mm-hmm. And he at one point, I think, got out of the shower and did a special shower dance that I didn't ever want to see and then adopted as my own, which is weird.
Wow.
So I'll give him credit for that, but nothing else.
I got to tell you, special shower dance may be the most disturbing sentence I've ever heard.
I know, right? And we've talked about Gargamel today.
Really unpleasant about that.
I saw special shower dance in 86. They were fantastic.
They were opening for Faith No More.
Yeah. let's see. The next one is from Duh. And he writes, Dear Algar and Matt, oh my God, exclamation. And he wrote this out. Oh my God, exclamation mark, semicolon, I thought you were dead. After listening to episode 107 regarding your death in comics. Did we talk about death in comics? I seriously don't remember.
I
seriously don't listen to the show. So
and everyone references episode 107. Like, we must have talked about some great stuff.
Is it the only one you ever put out?
I guess.
Apparently it was.
What would be your comic return / wasn't really dead tale?
Stealing
this question from another podcast. Oh, there's a second one here. Okay. We'll address this first. So, yeah, we've died and we need to come back, or we were never really dead in the first place.
Yeah. Do you mind if I go first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Time travel. I'll just, come back from before or come forward from the future from before I died and just, you know, go about my business.
Is Batman time travel or Captain America time travel?
Ooh, I don't understand either one of those references.
Fair enough.
I actually understand the Batman one, oddly enough, but
fancy you.
I stopped buying comics because I became poor when Captain America died. Sure. How did he end up coming back?
He got shot, and then he went back in time instead of dying.
For some reason?
Yeah, it wasn't a gun. It was a time gun.
Yep. You know, a time gun.
Of course.
Got to explain everything.
Time gun.
So stupid.
Oh, God. Time. Really? Time gun?
Time gun.
Yeah, time gun.
Time gun.
Ed Brubaker, I really like you. I really like your work. I really liked your take on Captain America, but that's fucking stupid.
Time gun. Time gun.
All right. If you say it a bunch of times, that doesn't make it less stupid.
Exactly. It's like the prime punch. You just keep saying it until it makes sense.
I just figured you were going for Knife Wrench from Scrubs.
I do love Knife Wrench. It's for kids.
Matt, how about you? How would you come back if you had?
I want to go by the whole died, and then the one who died turned out to be an alien, and I was in a box under the sea all that time.
Ooh, I like it because you hate the sea and everything in it, so no one would think to look there.
Exactly.
Very nice. I'll go for the standard. I guess this is the other main one you guys haven't covered yet, which is I wasn't actually dead in the first place. I was just sleeping.
I was really tired, you guys.
Yeah, I had mono for a while and they buried me, those dicks.
I like the picture you waking up though with a mullet.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, and some sort of restorative suit.
And there's four guys pretending to be me and they all suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Robot.
Well, I'd be okay with that.
Sure.
Robot me.
I fucking hate Robot Al.
And his other question is also sort of superhero related. Stealing this question for another podcast, that's fine. As long as we don't steal our answers, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
What would be your lame superpowers? I know we've addressed this before, but this is one of those that I don't mind coming back to, actually.
Mm-hmm.
These are always fun. And the Would You Rather books always had some fun. Like, would you like to generate new carpet everywhere you walk? Or, you know, always have it be 73 degrees wherever you go? You know, they always had some fun hypothetical powers in that.
Right.
Actually sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Well, then you always have static electricity to fight villains with, so that's handy.
That hadn't even occurred to me. I was just going to reupholster the basement.
I don't know. What do you guys think? There's a lot of lame superpowers out there.
I think I'm going to go with Matter Eater Lad powers this week.
All right.
I would have the power to always have an empty seat next to me on the airplane.
Oh, fuck. That would be awesome.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I would expand that to an empty seat next to me anywhere.
Yeah, on the bus, on the train. Okay.
Yeah. You know what you do? You grow a big sketchy beard. People will move away from you on the train.
Ah!
Nice. See, I can only assume that that's a power you can activate. Because, you know, if you're at the movies with your girl, you don't want to have her not be able to sit next
sides.
To you.
It wouldn't necessarily be to both sides, but to one side or the other, there would always be one empty seat.
See, I picture all bad superpowers going back to one of the lamest superheroes I can think of, which is Cyclops from the X-Men, which is a power you can never stop.
Right.
So not only does he have the ability to shoot laser beams, he doesn't have the ability to stop laser beams shooting from his eyes.
Well, you just don't fall out of a plane.
That's true. You don't get the head injury.
Yeah.
But then you also hate all women, so there's that. This is something that came up in a Star Trek episode we watched for the other podcast. Scotty hit his head and hated all women.
I can see that.
Hit him on the head. So if you fell out of an airplane, you just hate all mountains
or airplanes
or the sky
and everything.
Everything
in it.
Nope. Let's not do that anymore.
So he hates John Denver.
Well, who does?
Ultimately, he wasn't in the sky anymore. But too soon. Sorry, too soon.
More like too late. All right.
Late isn't the late John Denver.
Late isn't the late Denver John Denver. As far as my power goes, I don't know. I think maybe the lamest power is either lightning powers, or they always seem cool, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Or stretching power, which is just absurd and not at all useful. So
no, the lamest power is that everything you touch turns into meat.
That's not lame. Well, depending, is it edible meat? Is it good meat?
No.
Because, I mean, I've been...
Everything you touch turns into ground beef.
Wow. I is it fresh ground beef?
Taco night would be off the hook.
Yeah, no kidding. Taco night would never end. It would be one long taco night until, my arteries clogged and I died.
Yeah, except that there wouldn't be any tacos. There'd just be more ground beef.
Well, you'd have somebody else prepare the tacos, I guess.
Yeah, but then I tap them on the shoulder and they turn into beef. So
good point.
Yeah,
I could see how that would. All right. Never mind. Fuck, lightning powers. What the hell?
Okay.
Just because they're terrible.
Yeah, because you can't really direct where lightning goes. I mean, that's it's pointless.
And do you know what happens to a toad? Never mind.
Hanging up the phone now. I'm hanging up.
This interview is over.
But we got voicemails to get to, guys.
I'm storming out.
Oh, God.
Wow, that was really bad. I didn't even mean to do that.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Ah!
That was Dave bad.
No, I'm storming out.
Oh.
With a mohawk. I love Mohawk Storm. Side note.
Mohawk Storm is pretty awesome.
Do you have her on one of those cards? That seems about like the right era.
No, I think the Storm card I have is from the Jim Lee Claremont reboot era, and so she's back in the long flowy cape, full head of hair.
Well, if you're in the early 90s, wasn't that where every single issue of X something was issue one?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, yep. There were a lot of issue ones.
Yeah, because that was right around the time I worked at a 7-Eleven briefly when they still sold comics. Actually, I think they do again. But and there was all the time people coming in and saying the comic shop sold out of this and this is going to be a collector's item and I got to have this.
Right.
Do you have
right.
issue one of X-Face?
XX? Do you have XX?
That'll be my power, being X-Face. I like that.
Lord.
Okay. So we got some...
Man, this X-Face...
We got some voicemails.
Thank God. I am tired of your voice. I want to hear someone else's.
Yeah. So the first one is from Brewtown Andy.
Hey, boys. This is Brewtown Andy. Since I saw you were recording with Ed, I thought I would give Ed a chance to shout expletives at Dodger fans, given their recent behavior towards Giants fans. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, I don't want to bring the whole show down. That was actually a pretty ugly incident that a Giants fan at Dodger Stadium got beat up pretty severely by a couple of Dodger fans. And while I agree that all Dodger fans are inherently assholes, I don't blame them collectively for this ridiculous violence. But yeah, hopefully the dude will be okay and I can go back to sort of, you know, hating the Dodgers without violence in my heart and just with the usual hatred that I have for them.
Very well.
Now, did they beat him up just because he was a Yankees fan?
A Giants fan.
Don't ever say Yankees to any baseball fan because that's the one team they all hate.
Exactly. Even
I know that
fans hate Yankee fans. I don't know. Accounts differ that they were heckling him because he was a Giants fan, or that they were just gangbanger assholes who beat up some guys. It's hard to say, but yeah.
Very well then. So you don't want to yell expletives then is the thing.
You know, honestly, like I do it in the street, not expletives, but like I work right near the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm walking to or from around there, anytime I see somebody in a Dodger hat, I do boo them audibly, like very, very loudly.
Yeah, but that's playful.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I just sort of boo. I boo random fans in the streets, but I don't need to hurl expletives. I save that for, children.
Yes.
People who traipse around being joyful.
Oh, yes. God. Kids are the worst. With the joy in their heart and the things that the way that they like things.
They haven't been crushed by the overwhelming.
Oh, their youthful optimism is just terrible.
You just want to be the one to introduce them to cynicism and make them shut up. Just
exactly.
One day your innocence is going to end. Why don't I do it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. The next one, Ed, I know you're among the many fans of our wonderful celebrity friends.
Sure.
Our next one comes apparently from Katharine Hepburn.
Right.
Let's have a listen to that, won't we?
Hello, you darling men of sarcastic voyage. This is Katharine Hepburn. I simply really cannot stand the fact that you've been talking to that odious man, Orson Welles, when you could be talking to me, Katharine Hepburn. Honestly, I really think that you ought to reconsider your brands of humor and add a little bit more slapstick and taste. But then I don't give a damn what you do. As I was telling Spencer the other day, simply idiots these days, the morons that they have doing comedy. Back in our day, we did it right, with grace, dignity, and a whole lot of booze. Anyway, that was Katharine Hepburn that was speaking to you here. And don't forget it. Moron.
It honestly, there was a point in there, got a little foghorn leghorn for me. so that was obviously an issue. But she sounded a little bit drunk. So I'm going to say it was pretty on point.
Now, is Katharine Hepburn drunk or did she have a stroke?
Is there a difference?
So moving on.
I don't know. That didn't sound like Captain Janeway at all.
That's true.
Take that, stroke victims. What is wrong with me?
You're a monster.
Yeah. I really am.
You're history's third greatest monster.
Live with that.
Next,
after Hitler and the Boogeyman.
After Hitler and Sidewinder.
Sidewinder.
Hey, that reminds me. There was another, when I was going through the official handbook, I had a bunch of Marvel characters sort of piled up that I maybe wanted to discuss, but we moved on to other things.
Sure.
But there's the Hate Monger.
Oh, I love the Hate Monger. He just makes everybody hate.
Yeah, and he's in a KKK uniform that is brightly colored, and under the hood, Hitler.
Yep.
How can you beat that?
You really can't.
I actually buy a brightly colored KKK uniform. I mean, these are guys who call themselves stuff like the Grand Wizard.
Yeah, these guys are awesome, and like, well, okay, let's not say the KKK is awesome.
No.
Sarcastic Butch does not agree with that.
But yeah, the whole like, you know, like crazy, yeah, Grand Wizard mysticism around the whole thing is pretty.
It must be based hilarious. On something. It must be based on something less objectionable that we can latch on to. Like, you know, they must have based their thing on some ancient medieval thing or something, and that's
sure,
the cool thing.
Sure,
and they just appropriate it.
Bullshit.
Right, exactly. The sad thing is Gargamel could never be a Grand Wizard.
True.
All right, next one comes from Marissa.
Gentlemen, this is Mrs. Brewtown. Now, I've been drinking, watching sports, so perhaps I'm a bit surlier than usual, but this is about the 1500th time I've seen the Apple, if you don't have an iPhone, then you don't have an iPhone ad campaign during March Madness. And I'm just wondering, even as an iPhone owner, I think that this is quite possibly the douchiest ad campaign ever. Agree? Disagree? Thanks.
I actually, and you know, of course, everyone hates me that I don't watch commercials, but whatever. I don't know what she's talking about. Have you guys seen this thing?
Yeah, I mean, the point, like literally the tagline of the commercial is, if you don't own an iPhone, then you don't own an iPhone.
So A equals A.
Yeah, it's a little douchey. Here's my question, though, for Mrs. Brewtown. She said she'd been drinking and watching sports, so she was a little sillier than usual. Mm. Like, have we really established a low bar for that yet that she's expected to clear? I mean, I sort of feel like a lot of her content is, yeah, it's a little silly. So
I thought she said surly.
Oh, is that what she said? Well, again, so. You know what? My point still stands.
Fair. That's fair. Now, every time she's written into the show, it's been a little silly and maybe a little surly, too.
Slurry, to tell you the truth. Like, yeah. I couldn't make out all the words. Yeah. And that's coming from me, so that's saying something.
Well, you know, she's from Wisconsin, so there's
so, to answer her question,
like Sidewinder.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, and you know, Ed and I are both on the record as being big Apple douches, and, yeah, this sounds terrible to me, so.
Yeah, well, it's like you were talking about, you know, I think you were talking about this on Twitter, maybe one of your shows. I don't listen to the show.
Of course. How many times are you going to say that, really?
I just want to make sure you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like you're talking about how it used to be that you were, you know, in love with your Apple stuff and embarrassed to talk about comics, and yeah. Now it's sort of the other way around, and I get that.
Yep. And the thing is, you're a little further ahead on the curve than I am, but you don't rub it in people's faces, so it's okay.
Yeah.
And my pal Bob, same thing. Like, he usually ends up with Bob where he'll run out and get the iPad. He'll actually be one of the guys who stands in line. And I'll mock him, and then a month later, it's like, oh, I want an iPad.
It's such a bizarre feeling. I did that. I waited in line. Not like the crazy, like, overnight lines, but when they were getting shipments in daily, and, like, you know, you'd get there, like, half an hour before the store opened.
Yeah.
And right. You just feel like such an asshole waiting in line for like 45 minutes just to give them $600, you know? Like, yep. Is there anything in the world stupider than that?
Oh, sure there is. I'm sure we could find something.
Absolutely. Here, it's a good point.
I mean, we could mine the comics fan community that we know, and I'm sure find douchey analogs to that. But yeah, they're ads in general. Like, I've flipped by them on the TiVo, and every now and then I'll slow down. Like, what's this all about? Oh, yeah. Jesus, this is just I think iPhone 4 came out, and they were just going on and on about how it's the most revolutionary machine ever invented.
I think it was either the iPhone 4 or the first iPad when they started referring to their products as magical, where I was like, wow, this has hit a tipping point.
Yeah. This is like, I can already see the Penny Arcade strip that's going to be made about
yes,
this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The one out of 20 that you'll understand.
Oh, no, we're down to like 1 in 3 now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Right,
you, You're playing video games now. I forgot.
A little bit. And Amanda's living here. She's actually the primary gamer of the house.
She just wanders over and explains it to you and then walks away.
Well, like,
she puts on her explaining hat. And then
of course. Well, the last 20 have been about Dragon Age, so she's been able to really help me out there. So
yeah.
Delightful.
Uh-huh. Let me tell you, these guys, and Matt's part of this, Irene's part of this, just like a whole subsection of my little circle will not shut up about who they're fucking in Dragon Age. Like, enough.
That's like the entire point of the game.
And Ushwin doesn't fuck anyone. So
yeah.
We just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Art imitates life.
We call the episode that just because I don't think people are talking about it enough.
Well, we haven't done a fuck title for a while, so maybe. All right. Next one comes from Pat Loika.
This message is for your guest, Ed Casey. Casey, you are a pervert and you are taking pictures of people who are sleeping in the train. I'm calling you out right now, and I'm going to see you next year at WonderCon. I'm going to destroy you and rip you in half. That's all I need to say.
Okay, that was sort of a cross between that those wrestling interstitials where they're talking trash and like a caller to like a heated like political or sports call-in show.
It was a little Macho Man Randy Savage for me. My advice for Pat, internet sweetheart, Pat Loika.
I'm actually surprised Pat did not several times through that message say, "This is Pat Loika."
I advise him to pack a lunch and bring some friends because kicking my ass or trying to kick my ass is going to be an all-day job. And even if he does rip me in half, he's still going to throw his back out trying to lift me up. I'm very heavy.
Matt, do you feel the testosterone count of this show just skyrocketing beyond its normal?
Yeah, the usual testosterone of -8.
Yeah, I mean my PKA meter here is off the charts.
It's... And also, I don't think that I'm a pervert for taking pictures of people who are asleep on BART. I think whatever Pat is doing while he looks at those pictures makes him a pervert, and maybe he's projecting a little bit.
Also, just to be clear, you quit doing that. So,
as I quit all things, I'm surprised I'm still on this podcast right now.
All right, this next voicemail is actually addressed to our voice guy, Dave, who is not here with us at the moment, but we got him to record a response for us, so here we go.
Hey, that only took 2 fucking rings. Well done. Anyway, this is Poodle Douche. Tonight on Twitter, Mr. Fields posted that he was going to try out a 4 Loko and embark on a 4 Loko adventure. My challenge to Dave is to drink 3 4 Lokos and then participate in a Q&A show with you guys. Hope you can make this happen. I mean, it would bring joy to all the children. And, don't puss out, Dave.
Dear Mr. Poodle Douche, how are you? I am fine. I'm pleased to hear that you enjoyed my 4 Loko experiment, but I'm afraid that I'm going to have to deny the request that you submitted in your voicemail. Regarding the first part of your request, drinking 3 4 Lokos in one sitting, I had the boys down in the Sarcastic Voyage Laboratories crunch the numbers, and it looks like that would be approximately 12 Loko. Further tests revealed that 10 Loko is a lethal dose. Sorry, Matt, I will get you a new puppy. Our legal department has informed us that this is, for insurance reasons, simply not feasible at this time. The second part of your request, I'm happy to say, I can fulfill. Simply copy and paste the following responses among the Twitter posts from the earlier 4 Loko experiment. Pepsi, Pepsi, Coke, accept Blandy's LinkedIn request, Pepsi. On behalf of all of us here at Sarcastic Voyage, we appreciate your interest. We know that you have a choice in drunken voice guys, and we thank you for choosing ours.
They've dumbed that stuff down. It doesn't even matter anymore. 4 Loko isn't even relevant. They took out all the energy drink part.
So it's like absinthe now. It's not actually.
Now it's
what
just
it
fruity flavored malt liquor. It doesn't even have like the heart racing Red Bull element to it anymore.
Ah, it's lame.
Exactly.
All right. So let's go to the second one from our pal Pat McNeil.
Hey guys. So I thought I had like a tumor or something growing out of one of my testicles, but it turned out to be just a pimple. It was pretty gnarly. But yeah, just want to let you know that my balls are still okay. And it was kind of uncomfortable squeezing pus out of my testicles. That was cool. Okay, well, carry on.
So
well,
do you guys ban people from the show, or can you make them just never call again? Because I don't want to hear anything about anyone's balls ever. I mean, I don't even make direct eye contact with my own balls if I can avoid it. So I definitely
okay, wait a minute. Eye contact with your balls.
Yeah, that's right.
You often find them staring at you?
For once in a while, yeah.
So he's got a pimple, you've got eyes.
Yep.
The balls have eyes.
Balls have eyes.
Very well. I feel like we need a chart or something, like Pat's ball status.
I'm glad he's healthy. Like, good for him. You know, because just as a human being, I'm concerned about other human beings, but I don't want to hear about it ever again.
Well, he's, you know,
jerking off with eyes on your balls would be the most unpleasant sensation ever.
That's why you don't look at him.
A mouth would be worse.
It'd just be like, woo!
All right, moving on. Scott White has sent us a couple. Actually, I think, didn't we decide we're not taking them from him anymore because he called us from the toilet?
Yeah, good point.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Pass.
So let's skip to Scott Zioko then. Sorry, Scott White. We enjoyed your calls, but the toilet thing, no can do.
I'm not sorry.
All right.
Hey, guys. It's your buddy Scott Zioko. I was calling because I heard about your request to get people who had celebrity friends onto the show to make appearances. I don't have a celebrity friend as fancy as like Jerry Seinfeld or Jack Nicholson or Richard Nixon. But I do have a particular celebrity friend I wanted to bring on. Hold on while I put you on speakerphone so we could both talk at the same time. All right, now we're on speaker now, and I'd like to introduce you to my good friend, R&B singing legend, Michael McDonald.
I got to thank Scott Zioko.
You're welcome, Mr. McDonald. I got to ask, though, did you really have to sing that?
Yes, I do. I have to sing all the time because I'm Michael McDonald.
Oh, okay. Well, that works. So, anything in particular you wanted to say to Sarcastic Voyage?
No, I don't. Just give me my money so I can go.
Michael McDonald, I wasn't gonna pay you, man. This is just for free.
What the hell are you talking about? I wanna kick your ass tonight.
Yeah, you don't have to resort to violence.
Yes, I do, and now your ass is my
way. What are you trying to do?
I gotta say, when I was, I don't know, 7 or 8, I used to take my dad's tape recorder and stuff that sounded quite a lot like that would end up being produced. And I live in perpetual fear that tape, like one of those tapes, is going to surface one day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be like I'm going to have some like fairly decent buzz on this thing or something, and people are going to find that, and that'll be the end. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know who Michael McDonald is.
No, me neither.
Yeah, you're both better off for that hole in your knowledge.
Very well, then. Next one comes from Mr. Smile.
Oh, God.
Oh, good. You get it working? So, hello. Having to be discreet, some of you may know Porkers and I are being held prisoner in a mine. Yeah, me neither. Anywho, it all happened after I became U.S. president and went on a search with a robot to find Nixon's treasure. You know, when I put it like that, it sounds a bit... Yes, workers, I'll tell them. So we're almost ready to start a prison while a mine break. Don't want to infringe copyright. One of the other prisoners here, Cutie, is going to help us. Woe betide whoever gets in my way. Oh yes, I will have my freedom. How do you turn this stupid thing off? Push what button? I'm still technically president. Should I be pushing random buttons?
Well... I guess an update from Mr. Smlown. I'm not sure what we can add to that exactly.
Yeah, he's having some issues.
Some adventures. Some
real adventures.
He's in a mine of mimes, I guess.
Mime. A mime mine.
Yeah, that's easy to say.
Yeah, totally. No, that's not at all troubling to repeat.
I mean, I do enjoy hearing from him. Don't get me wrong. I appear to be the only one who's not terrified by him, but...
I wouldn't say I'm terrified. I'm just I'm unsettled. I'm mildly unsettled.
Very well. The whole dichotomy there just fascinates me. The fact that Smlown, at least for a while, had more Twitter followers than Irish Gav actually did.
That's not bad.
The fact that I'm pretty sure he's been on the show more than Gav has.
He certainly calls us more frequently.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Gav's been on as a full guest, but Smlown checks in with us all the time. All right, next one comes from our pal Sleep, a.k.a. Thomas.
Dear Ed, Casey, and possible hosts, this is Thomas. If you happen upon a Marvel Universe Series 2 Dark Hulk rookie card, please take a drink for me in memory of my complete Series 2 collection, which was stolen by a jerk in the 7th grade but never recovered, even though I learned years later who took it. Thanks in advance, Thomas.
Oh, my. My Marvel Trading Cards also stolen by a jerk in the seventh grade.
Nice. Here's the thing. I do drink every time I come across a Dark Hawk card or mention or anything, but that is only in the vain attempt to completely erase the memory of Dark Hawk from my mind.
Well, now I got to know who Dark Hawk is.
Dark Hawk is sort of like they smash together like Spider-Man's, like, you know, every man, he's a kid who gets picked on sensibilities mm-hmm. with a shitty suit of armor. And then they gave him some claws on his arm at the same time. And I think a mystical gem that powered all of this. Yep.
That actually sounds like what Spider-Man would have been in the 90s. Like,
basically, yeah, he was a total right, 90s yes. creation. It was very like it may have been just post Spawn where like everything was mystical and mysterious. And, yeah, he's bad. I think his name was Danny.
Danny, huh?
Am I wrong on that? Matt, fact check me.
Well, actually.
I don't think it's...
Derp.
This is going to bug me now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm as you guys are talking, I'm looking in my...
It's 100% not going to bug me, so...
I'm looking in my official Marvel... what is it? Dark Hawk?
Dark Hawk. Yeah.
Okay, nope. I got Dark Star, and then it goes to Dazzler.
Yeah, if your guide is from the 80s, it probably predates...
Well, I
Christopher
thought...
Powell was his real name.
Ah. Christopher Powell? Yeah, whatever. Who cares? Oh, you know what? I was thinking of Danny Ketch. Yes, I was thinking of the second Ghost Rider.
That's Ghost Rider. Which, in this 80s Marvel guide, Ghost Rider did not look like a skull with his hair on fire.
He was the cowboy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big surprise there.
What about Evel Knievel Ghost Rider?
I don't know. What about
him? He should be in there.
He's not. There is no flaming skull.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cowboy Ghost Rider wore some sort of, like, glow-in-the-dark cowboy suit, right? To, like, scare people.
Awesome.
Yep.
I guess. I hate
everything.
To keep him away from his mine.
All right. Yes,
it's his homestead.
Do you concern it?
Exactly.
So, really, he's more Ghost Miner than Ghost Rider.
A little bit. Well, he rode a horse. He rode an evil, evil horse.
Right. He's a vengeful spirit of a prospector.
Bing.
Grizzled
so,
old prospector.
Prospector.
Yes. All right. Final one comes from unknown. Let's take a look.
Hey guys, Lisa Middleton here. Hey, we spoke on the phone last week about possibly trying to lower your interest rates and reducing your monthly payments on your credit card. So I want to get back to you and let you know that I did find a solution. We've got a program that can lower those interest rates to as low as 1.5% and possibly cut your monthly payments in half. And since you are only making the minimum payments, this is a great opportunity for you. This will be my last courtesy call, so please give me a ring today. You can reach me here at 1. Again, that number is 1. Thanks.
Okay, couple of things. If the company handling my finances cannot keep straight the fact that I called from a phone number that is not this one,
sure.
I'm not sure I have the highest confidence in them.
Well, what did Lisa say when you talked to her last week? It's not like she had just talked to you last week. So, I mean, do you remember that conversation?
Secondly, she thinks I'm such an idiot that she has to say 1-877. Like, we don't all know at this point that you're supposed to dial 1.
That's a good point. It sounds like she's offering a pretty sweet deal. She did have me nailed on the minimum payments thing. So.
That was a nice little hidden slight there. She sounded like she wanted to help, but she's like, since you're only making the minimum payments.
Listen, Brookcast, you should definitely call us back.
Yeah, I'm not actually putting the number out there because...
I think she brings a lot to the table and we should hear what she has to say.
Well, she might make a decent guest. I mean, you know.
Good point,
I agree.
Wait, what's an interest rate? Yeah, maybe not the right show.
Good point.
All right, so that's all we got. Ed, any final thoughts? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to? Oh no, you don't do anything anymore. So
no, I'm still doing Marvel cards. You can check out a guy with some Marvel cards. tumblr.com. You can always find me on the Twitter. That's my Twitter name is Ed Casey. It's mostly dick jokes, and now it's baseball season, so you'll really be annoyed with me.
Yeah, I'm out.
And I'm out. Yeah, and that's all I really have to plug. Bart Don't Lie still exists. I just have to figure out how I'm going to use it. So, you know, stick around, stay tuned.
Very well. Matt, do you have anything to plug?
No.
I'm going to talk while Matt tries to plug stuff. Matt would like to plug the Serpent Society, first and foremost.
with our very special guest.
Let me tell you about Sidewinder.
Sidewinder.
Yeah, that picture is definitely going up because, oh my God.
Yeah, that's like, hey, let's take a bunch of colors and put them together on a snake. There, we made a character.
Good work.
Stop and listen to yourself. Lunch. Let's put a bunch of colors together on a snake. That sentence was actually uttered by people who made money at some point. People who forged the imagination of an entire generation.
Yep.
Came up with this guy. All right, Ed. Always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Indeed.
And that is all. We're going to stop talking now.
And now it's time for Spanish lessons with Juan D.
Hoy, mi vaca habla con acento español. Cientos de personas harán lo mismo. Joder.
Today, my cow speaks with a Spanish accent. Hundreds of people do the same thing. Fuck! This has been a Spanish lesson with Juan D. Next week, he will teach you another one.
And now the adventures of Nick and Willikins.
We last saw our heroes. Nick was pulling the lever on the brain-swapping machine he invented, which... oh, I don't even know where to begin. Does Nick invent things? How would a brain-swapping machine even work? And why do I continue narrating this drivel? Anyway, here we go. Well, sir, this is another jolly mess you've gotten us into.
I think it's brilliant. My lifelong dream of becoming a famous mad scientist is finally coming true.
And now, sir, how do you propose we get out of this latest debacle of yours?
Debacle? It's all going perfectly to plan, isn't it? Or you, nephew.
Blimey, Uncle Nick, you sound funny.
That's a bit of the old pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? Now you lot get the brains all swapped back to where they belong. Apparently Willikins finds this all confusing.
Confusing? Not for me.
I know, me neither. But that's hired help for you.
Seeing as I was kidnapped and forced at gunpoint to serve you for life, I'm not certain hired help is the phrase you want here, sir.
Quiet, you. Right, off we go then.
So they all...
So they all return their minds to the right places, for a given definition of mind. Actually, Rick and Vic are still in the wrong bodies, but who's going to even notice that? In fact, I would venture a guess that we'll never even hear from Nick's identical nephews again.
Willikins, the post has arrived.
Sir, where are your nephews?
My what?
Your nephews, the five identical... oh, never mind. The post is here, you say?
Yes, you appear to have gotten a letter of some kind. Which is odd, if you ask me. I didn't know the Royal Post delivered mail to pets.
Perhaps it's like when children send letters to Father Christmas.
I suppose that does make a certain kind of sense. Willikins, this letter is from... Willikins.
Sir, I wish you wouldn't open my mail. There are laws about these things.
There are also laws about sending letters to yourself. At least there should be.
This letter... oh, God, it's from the Colonel.
What, the man who makes the chickens?
No, sir. This Colonel, Colonel Willikins, is in fact my father.
What stunning plot twist could be contained in the letter? Why do we even bother pretending we care about plot at all at this point? And who left this half-eaten Toblerone in my pocket? It's all sticky.
That's mine!
Ugh. Tune in next week for the adventures of Nick and Willikins. God, this is disgusting. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is a co-production of Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of the co-producers and any featured guests unless otherwise noted. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions. Copyright 2011.